Hi, good morning everybody again. Welcome to this morning service. My name is Gareth Godfrey. I'm one of the leaders here at church, and Martin, our pastor, will come and lead, bring God's word to us and lead communion later on in the service. Ellen, a couple of weeks back, brought a prayer from the prayer team on Sunday morning before service about actually coming to God, those who are fearful, and God taking that fear away from us. What I just want to kind of look at this morning is a slightly different angle where we come to seek God's face. Don't know what kind of week you've had, whether it's been a triumphant week or a miserable week or somewhere in between. But actually this morning, let's come and to seek God's face. I'm just going to read a few words from Psalm 27. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O my God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Teach me a straight path because of my oppressors. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. This morning, come before the Lord your God. Take heart, seek his face. He is a faithful God. He is our rock in times of trouble, and we will always rely on him. We're going to stand this morning and sing our first song, Faithful God. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. You have been my helper. Heavenly Father, you are a miracle worker. You are a promise keeper. You are light in the darkness. Help us this week, Heavenly Father, to seek your face, to come to you, to wait for you, Lord, to be strong and take heart, and to wait for the Lord. Amen. Please do sit down. For those that were here 2 weeks ago when I was last leading the service, I did actually have a number of notices and people coming up. I did actually have a stopwatch and we're timing people. I'm not doing that today, but we have got a number of people bringing different notices. And we're going to start with Linda. Want to find the microphone. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Next Sunday, we are holding a lunch for those people who have been coming here for the last 3 to 6 months and consider this as their spiritual home. And the meal will be after the church service. If you want to come, would you please sign up either by email to the church office on Church Suite, or I have got a trusted pen and paper. I will be outside hovering around the Quench pop-up bookshop that is out there, and well worth a visit if you want to sign up. Also, I've got a request for the leadership side of this meal. Would you please sign up as well? Otherwise, you could well be licking the bowl out.
Okay, that's been told off. Thank you. John Ingrey, yes, please.
Now, I don't want to oversell this opportunity to volunteer. You may have the opportunity to be cold. If it rains, you might get wet. It might be windy. You have to hold on to things. But you'll be part of the churches together, and more of the Baptist churches together, in the Market Square for the light switch on a week on Friday. We need volunteers. We've the stand which we've got there will be from 12 noon through till about 8 p.m. So there is plenty of slots. If you can help for half an hour or an hour, please let me know, or Ellen or Adele know before, preferably a week on Friday. But it's the opportunity to meet with the people in the town, to, you know, and people are very willing to talk and that. And we're on a slightly different position this time. We're on the White Hart car park area, so should be quite a good flow. So if you're able to help, please let me know, or Ellen or thing, or just send one to the office and we'll pick it up from there. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Catherine.
Hi, everyone. Lots of you who've been here for a while will know that over the last few years we've given hampers of Christmas goodies to the ladies who are unfortunately at this point in the refuge with their children, having fled domestic violence. We're doing that again this year, so I have a lovely list of things that we're going to give them. So these are hampers of Christmas treats. It's not a food parcel, so it's not tins of soup and packets of cornflakes. It's chocolate biscuits, it's mince pies, it's a bottle of Schlur so they can have something nice to drink with their dinner at Christmas. It's those kinds of things. We also give the ladies and the children each a gift, so ladies' toiletry sets are also on there as well. So if anybody would like to sign up to donate anything to give to the ladies in the refuge to make Christmas just a little bit nicer in their quite tricky situation this year, I will be around with a trusty piece of paper, because Alistair did try to put it on Church Suite and he couldn't make it work.
Oh, wow.
So Gareth, that is not my lack of trying to get it on Church Suite. He couldn't do it.
Oh. Should we get the expert up to explain then?
So I'm Alistair. I do some of the admin behind the scenes, especially in Church Suite. So those of you new to the church, you'll hear the term Church Suite used. It's a piece of software, and it allows the church office and the church leadership to organise events, keep details of people's contact details, all sorts of useful things, room bookings. So firstly, if you are newer to the church and you don't get any communication by email from the church, please let myself know, let Linda in the office know, which is a different Linda than the one who was up. Let Venice know, let Gareth know. We can add your details. All we need is an email address and your name. We'll send you a little link to create a Church Suite account for you, and we'll ask you, would you like to receive the newsletter? I was looking for one beforehand to wave around, the old printed ones, which we still sometimes use. But that will be sent to you, if you want it, on a Friday. That gives you advance notice of meetings. We're aware quite a few people don't have that today being sent to them. In addition, if something gets rearranged, as happened with the lunch the other week, you may get an email in the week saying, something's changed. We don't bombard you with emails, but it's some way of contacting you before you turn up on Sunday and go, didn't know that had happened. So if you're not signed up, please do so. Speak to the one of us, I say, you have mentioned, and we'll get you a church an account created in Church Suite. Secondly, if you've got a prayer request, there's one email address it needs to go to, and that's called prayer@bbchurch.org.uk. And those get sent out. But because we don't want to bombard you, you won't get them unless you let us know you want to receive prayer requests. So again, something else to let us know. They're only used for that. We don't sell them to the information to double glazing companies and the like. It is just for church use. And in the old days, there used to be a printed directory in the foyer. It was bad because people picked it up and you could work out whose house to break into, basically, and other such things. So that information is now with your Church Suite details, and you can choose to reveal your phone number, your email address, your physical address. I'd encourage you to make at least one of those available. If someone sends out a prayer request that Joe Bloggs isn't feeling very well, sometimes it's nice to say, contact Joe Bloggs and say, praying for you, hope, you know, anything I can do for you, etc. If you don't share any details within Church Suite, which is your choice, no one knows how to contact you. So in the Church Suite app, if you have that, just set some of your contact details to be invisible to people. The only people that can see those are the people in our church with Church Suite accounts, so it's not being sold to the great unwashed. Got any queries, come and see me. I'm around afterwards, come and see Gareth. We're just trying to make sure that church knows how to contact all the people that are here. You don't have to be a church member to be in Church Suite. It just allows us to communicate with you, sign you up for activities and the similar things like that.
Splendid.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've only got three other notices to add to that long list of notices. So we've got a church members meeting on the 30th of November at 6:30 in the evening in this very room. Next Saturday morning at 8:30, we've got men's breakfast. If you'd like to come along, do see me afterwards and let me know you're coming so we can make sure we've got enough bacon and eggs for everyone turning up. That'd be great. And next Saturday night, I'm running the... there's a little advert for it, the Tear Fund quiz. And we've got a little sample from last year's quiz. So if you hear last year's quiz, you'll know all the answers, because you remember all the answers from last year. We're not doing all the quiz, we're just doing three little bits. So I'll let Philip, there we go. So if you know the answer, shout out. So, that's not good. Why is it giving me both then, Philip? I thought it should only give me one.
You might say error, I think.
Probably, that's quite likely. No. Ah, right, there we go. I might get my... There we go. So that's a little small on the screen. What is the capital of Bolivia? Is it Sucre, La Paz or Copacabana? La Paz. There we go. In 1900, the colour of what fever was discovered? Yellow. In the film Wallace and Gromit, The Wrong Trousers, it's the wrong trousers, Gromit, and they're what?
Gone wrong.
Gone wrong. Gone wrong. Mark's seen that film too many times. That's why it says taster quiz, Mark, Martin. I know, but I overwrote the banner. That's why it says taster quiz. There we go. Taster quiz. Nothing to do with geography. Who has won most tennis grand slams, Venus or Serena? Is correct. Emu eggs are what colour? Green, blue or purple? Green. Right. There's two truths and a lie in these statements. So statement one, Edinburgh was the first city in the world to have its own ambulance service. The official animal of Scotland is the unicorn. And the Scottish flag, the saltire, is the oldest national flag still in use. One of those statements is false, the other two are true. Hands up for A.
Being what?
Being false. Hands up for B, being false. Hands up for C, being false. It was, Edinburgh was the first city to have its own fire brigade rather than ambulance service. That's a bit of a twist, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So I just want to kind of lay out some of the level of questions you could expect should you come to my quiz next week. You'll see that they're not overly trying. You don't have to scratch your brain too much. And either with a bit of educated guessing, you'll probably get a few right. What I'm going to show now is one of the videos from this year's quiz that they wanted to show about actually the work of Tier Fund and who they are and what they do. So I'm going to pass that over to my tech to let that run.
Extreme poverty affects every aspect of a person's life, devastating families and draining communities of their resources and hope. This overwhelming reality is not God's plan for our world. At Tier Fund, we partner with churches in more than 50 of the world's poorest countries, equipping them to lead their local communities out of extreme poverty and into a sustainable future. Over the last 25 years, Tier Fund has partnered with over 30,000 churches, helping them overcome extreme poverty in their communities using an innovative program called Transforming Communities.
It's like an awakening.
It's changing the mindset of the communities.
The Transforming Communities teaching impacted my life so that I could really reach out to help others.
So what is Transforming Communities? I'll let our friends in Burundi explain.
Transforming Communities is an approach bringing the Christian churches working together with community members to find solutions to their problems. The teachings are based on the Word of God. It seeks to change the beneficiaries spiritually, economically, and socially.
After going through those teachings, they discovered that they are able to do the development without external support.
So transforming communities is not about giving short-term aid. It's equipping local churches to work with their communities and lead long-term change. But how does it actually work?
We open the eyes of the pastors and the church leadership to see how the church should bring holistic transformation in the community. We always tell them that they should use local resources. So the church leaders start to be the catalyst of the transformation, and the church members identify the problems that are in a community.
At Tier Fund, we believe that the church is at the center of God's plan for healing and restoration of his world. But why the church?
We believe that the church is like a dormant giant. Once awakened, it can just bring transformation in any community.
Faced with the biggest flood in many years, the church was asked to give the greatest response. We had to rescue 420 people from their homes, as well as shelter and feed 80 people.
In addition to rapid response in disasters, communities are being transformed in many other ways. The Bible-based training helps communities identify their own resources, understanding their challenges, and develop lasting solutions like building water points, schools, or developing sustainable businesses.
When we meet here once a week to learn the Word of God, support each other, and listen to testimonies, we go home as renewed and hopeful people.
Since we got hold of the Word of God and got saved, we did not follow the traditional practices of the past anymore. And since we started farming, hunger has gone.
We have built a hospital in our community because it was difficult to carry a patient to the hospital that was very far away. This has been realized thanks to the training.
The other churches, other denominations that have learned about our story are coming to us for help.
We have worked with over 30,000 local churches in the last 25 years.
but our vision is to work with 250,000 by 2030. So please, help us support more communities to rewrite their own stories, building a future filled with hope and opportunity.
So next slide is quiz is to kind of raise money for Tear Fund so we can just be a part of that community of churches that they're kind of helping to fund some of the work that they do. So just lift that up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of Tear Fund. We thank you for the volunteers that work out so many different countries. Help them, Heavenly Father, to spread your word both practically and visually in terms of speaking your word, Heavenly Father. We just thank you for their work and just bless them. Amen. Going to read from God's word, which is today we're looking at the passage in John chapter 6. So if you want to find that in your Bible or open your app or whatever means of Bible you've got in front of you, and we're reading from John chapter 6 verses 25 to 40. Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." When they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent." And they asked him, "What miraculous signs will you give us then, that we may see them and believe? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who had given bread to you from heaven, but it was my Father who gave them the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never go thirsty. But I tell you, as I've told you, you have seen and still don't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose none of all of you that has been given to me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Amen.
Thank you, Gareth. Morning, everyone. I'm really sorry, I have two extra notices before we go any further. Tonight we have our Connect prayer hour, 6:30 to 7:30. Time of coming to wait on God, to listen for him and to share anything that he might say to us. So if you're able to come along to that, please do. I don't think Ali actually gave a proper plug for the pop-up bookshop afterwards either, but as per request, she's out there already, so don't go yet. As per request, there is a small Christmas bookshop out there for you to have a look at afterwards. As we come around the communion table this morning, you can see that the children are still in, and mums and dads would just say that we'll leave it up to you as to whether you want to share bread and wine with your children as well. That's your responsibility, and we'll just abide by what you say there. But also, the communion is a family time, as I've said many times before, and there are two bits of family news this morning that I need to share. The first one is not so good. The second one is frankly miraculous. So the first one is, sadly, I was called out last night to Doug Munro's house in Sandy. Doug's partner Marie was found dead yesterday. And fortunately, Dave and Susan King were able to come over as well, and we spent some time with Doug while the police did their thing and the Undertakers did their thing. But if you could please pray for Doug. He's got lots of questions. He's searching for lots of answers and nothing's forthcoming at the moment because it's Sunday. So please just pray for him in his loss. And we'll do that in a moment when we share the bread and the wine. And then the miraculous. On Friday, Hazel King celebrated 50 years of endurance with Bob. And Bob celebrated 50 years of marriage with Hazel. And it's a bit like London buses, these things. You don't have a wedding blessing for ages, then three come along in a row. So I'm going to invite Bob and Hazel to join me at the front here, because they have asked if they could reaffirm their wedding vows before us this morning. And I'm reliably informed that you've written your own vows as well, haven't you?
Not quite my own vows, but what somebody kind of had to say. Yes.
Okay. And have you written your own vows?
Something like that.
Okay. That's what I'm worried about.
I'm worried about.
I need to be shaking the whole week.
Oh, bless her. So, first of all, we're going to pray for them, and then I'm going to hand the microphone over and we'll see what happens. Living, loving God, we thank you for bringing Bob and Hazel together all those years ago. We thank you they've travelled the journey with you, sharing not just their love for each other, but their love for you. We thank you for lessons learned, for obstacles overcome, the gifts of children and grandchildren. Today, we celebrate with them this amazing milestone, thanking you for the blessings they've been to so many down the years and now here to us at Biggleswade Baptist Church. We pray for them that they may continue to reflect your love in their relationship and carry on growing closer to Jesus together. As we stand before you now, we ask that you would fill their hearts afresh with your presence, with the love of Christ, and with the power of the Holy Spirit as they renew their vows to each other in your presence and in the presence of this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, is it ladies first?
Yes.
Of course. If you'd like to face your beloved.
50 years ago, we were advised not to get married. You were told in no uncertain terms that the marriage wouldn't last. And you don't know how happy I am that you didn't take that advice. Life has not always been easy. We've had our ups and downs. But we've always supported each other and stood by each other. We raised two lovely daughters and even managed to survive their teenage years. So here we are 50 years on and still together. Now, I'm not one for much sentimental talk, but I want to say that I love you as much today as I did 50 years ago when I married you.
My darling Hazel.
Oh.
I'm filling up here. We made it all the way from the 14th of November, 1975. Warnings that it wouldn't last, the age gap will get in the way, what about the other girls? All those things. And I stand here before you to tell you that all of the things that I've done in my 72 years on the planet, some of which I look back at and probably wouldn't have done differently, or not at all, we've had our disagreements over the years. I've dodged a couple of airborne gravy boats, and I probably deserve them. But overall, I have to say, marrying you is the one decision I should never regret. Oh dear, I'm filling up, Tommy. Over the years, we've had our problems like everybody else. We've faced them together. We've been well off money. We've never been well off money-wise, but our wealth is in our lives together. Our girls, Rosie and Victoria, have brought me great delight, and I hope that I've been a good father to them and a good support to the others, and a good husband to you. I loved you then, I love you now, and I will always love you. Just one apology. Sorry, but you never got the Mustang.
That's a long story.
Let's pray for them. Bob and Hazel, may the riches of God's grace continue to be upon you, that you may continue in faith and love together with him and with each other, and receive the blessings of God in this life and the next. May the Lord bless you and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Well done. Thank you. Thank you. You may kiss the bride. No? There was a little party here yesterday afternoon, and I gather there are some very scrummy cakes left over from that. So let's try not to have a stampede at the end of the service. But there will be some cakes as well as biscuits afterwards. We have an invitation from God to share in the bread and the wine. And it goes a little bit like this. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Lord Jesus, we come to your table trusting in your mercy, not in any goodness of our own. We're not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it's your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So as we come to this point in our service, may you forgive us our sins, may you cleanse our hearts and minds, fill us afresh with your Spirit, feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may forever live in him and he in us. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." Lord Jesus, we thank you that in this bread we see your promise of eternal life. In this bread we see you bearing the weight of our sins on the cross in our place. And in this bread we see our hope and our future. We thank you for it, and we ask that you would bless it to us as we eat, in your precious name. Amen. Could I have my servers, please?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wine that reminds us of your blood shed for us, fulfilling the scripture that says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And we thank you that your blood cleanses us from sin and from the power of sin and from the wages of sin. And we thank you that your blood unites us with all who choose to follow you, who have received your forgiveness and your grace. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would refresh us in spirit as we drink, and you would draw us closer to yourself as we spend time reflecting on the great cost to you to make it possible for us to know you as our friend, as our brother, and as our saviour. Amen. We'll hold on to the cup till we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as God's people. Our sins have been forgiven, our slates have been wiped clean, and we are one in Christ if we have received his forgiveness. Let's drink and be thankful.
Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for the bread and the wine and what they symbolize. And we thank you that they remind us so simply yet so powerfully of your great love for us. And as we think about your great love, Lord, we do want to pray for Doug, that you would make your presence felt very strongly to him. Fill his home and his heart and his mind with your peace. Give him your comfort. Help him as he seeks to find a way through this shocking situation, and help him to trust in the work of the medical professionals. Help him to trust that there will be an answer for him. And Lord, we pray that you would help him to sleep. Lord, he spent all night awake turning things over. And we just pray that you would help him to find somewhere and some way to rest. Strengthen him for the week ahead. Surround him with your love and the knowledge that we pray for him, not just here and now, but on through the week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, we're going to sing another song before we come to hear from God's word. And youngsters are going out as we sing the song. So as soon as we all stand up, boys and girls, it's time for you to go out. I don't know if the youth are going out as well. Youth are going out as well. Excellent. So if you're under 18, off you go. And we're going to sing Goodness of God.
Oh,
that song far too often. Because most of us didn't need the words, but thanks, Steve, for trying to shout it out as we went along. How are we doing over there? Nearly. Okay, well, I'm going to start because it's 11:30, and then we'll just catch up as we go along if we need to. So, question for you. Is it too early to mention Christmas?
No.
Interesting. All right, settle down. I normally wouldn't mention Christmas before December, but I'm going to this morning, or at least mention a Christmas film or two. One of these films is quite old. One of them is more recent. The first one is a film called Jingle All the Way, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger in a comedy, not an I'll be back sort of movie. Nothing's happening. There we go. There he is. And the other one is called Click and Collect, which is much more recent and came straight to telly a couple of years ago with Stephen Merchant. He's the really tall, skinny bloke, as opposed to the short, chubby bloke. Now, about 30 years separate these two films, but they have the same basic premise. A child desperately wants a particular toy for Christmas. I think in the Irony film, it's a superhero character. And Gareth, just for you, I think in Click and Collect, it's a unicorn. Who'd have thought the Scots had a unicorn as their... There we go. Never did understand the Scots. So. And the child wants this particular toy, and the dad sets out to get this toy, going through all sorts of adventures and misadventures and disasters and learning experiences on the way, trying to do anything he can to bring back that toy. Otherwise, of course, Christmas would be ruined. No spoilers, but if you get the chance to watch them, do. They're both really good. Now, have you ever noticed how we can decide we need something that a minute before we never even knew existed? Yeah? You've had that experience too? I experience it mainly with adverts for KFC, but other adverts do apply. And that's the power of advertising for you. It stirs up a desire for something inside you, and it tells you that you need it. But what about the stuff we really need? How much are we prepared to do? How far are we prepared to go to find what we really need? If you're in the desert and you're dying of thirst, what do? You try to find... Thank you, John. Yeah, well done. You try to find water, don't you? Desperately. You're searching for an oasis. Somewhere where you can get some refreshment. If you're drowning, if you're starving, if you're naked, if you're homeless, what do? You do all you can to find something that floats to stop you drowning, or you shout for help over and over again. You beg for food, you try and get food wherever you can, you look for clothes, and you try and find somewhere where you can get shelter. And you keep on going until you find what you so desperately need. Now, in today's passage, Jesus makes a stunning and incredibly bold claim. Jesus says that he is what we need for life. Jesus is what we need for life. He goes a bit further. He says he's what we need for eternal life, real life. And today's verses follow the story of the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. And he satisfies the physical need and hunger of over those 5,000 people. And because he did that, because they saw him act out this miracle and provide for them, they followed him. They followed him from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake, hoping that he would do it again. You know, this is great. If we just follow Jesus around, he'll feed us all the time. We won't have to work.
We won't have to earn money to buy food or anything. We can just sponge off Jesus. And just like Martha the other week, when we looked at the raising of Lazarus, their focus was on the here and now, on the immediate. How can I get food in my belly? Jesus provides food. I'm going to follow Jesus and try and get some more food. And once again, Jesus challenges them and us to look beyond the immediate and see what we really need. He says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And then he says those wonderful words. I am the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Let's remember what he's saying here. I am. It's the name of God in the Jewish scriptures. Jesus is saying that he is God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. Not just someone who can teach about God, but someone who is God and who shows how we can know God personally. And just as in Jesus' day, bread was the essential, basic and necessary part of life, so he is the essential part of spiritual life. Without Jesus, we are literally, spiritually starving. In fact, out in the prayer before the service, John led us on this very chapter. He didn't know what I was preaching on, and I didn't know that's what he was going to do. And he said something that was quite powerful. He says, without the bread of life, we have no life. Without the bread of life, we have no life. We're merely existing. We're going through the motions because we're not doing what we were created to do. And we were created to know God and have a relationship with him, which now comes through Jesus. The problem is, we're quite attracted to junk food, aren't we? Was that just me as well? Could possibly be. So, you know, the KFC advert, the McDonald's advert, other adverts are available, and other junk food is available as well, should you want to go down that route. And there's a lot of food out there today that might look and taste nice to us, but is actually not that good for us. It might give us a quick sense of being full or of having a nice taste in our mouths, but that soon dissipates. Ooh, big word, dissipates. And we're hungry again. Don't get me started on Chinese food. You just always want more of that, don't you? Never feel satisfied. And just as there's a load of food out there today that looks and tastes nice but actually isn't good for us at all, the same is true spiritually. There are spiritual diets out there which promise much and deliver little, that promise life but lead to death, that promise freedom but lead to captivity, that promise joy but lead to depression and guilt. Now, hold on to your seats here, folks, because I've got a quote from somebody, and it's not Tom Wright. Write it down somewhere. It's a chap called Henry O'Harker. He puts it like this. He says, Jesus is the spiritual sustenance that believers need to attain eternal life. He is the very essence of spiritual nourishment. I'm going to change just one word in that quote, just for a moment. This feels a bit like one of the rounds on Richard Osman's House of Games, where he puts up a quote and he says, you just have to change one word to get it right. If you haven't seen it, BBC Two, 6 o'clock every night. Really good way to spend half an hour. Because it exercises the grey matter as well. It makes you think. You're not just sitting there going. Anyway, yes, I'd like to change the word believers to people. Because I think he's missed a trick here. Jesus is the spiritual sustenance that people need to attain eternal life. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone, no exception, no matter where you're from, how old you are, how clever you are, how beautiful you are, and all the other stuff that goes in there, no matter who you are, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs the bread of life. People today are seeking for spiritual reality, meaning to life, looking for purpose and forgiveness. And if you're trying to find those things anywhere else, you're eating spiritual junk food. And you're not doing yourself any good whatsoever. Jesus knows this. That's why he says what he says in John 6, that he is the bread of life. But also, for more context, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's not a select few. The offer is open to everyone. All we have to do is taste of the bread of life and say yes to Jesus. He says something similar here. In John 6, he says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Once again, it's about relationship. It's not about religion or religious behavior. It's about relationship with Jesus, the living bread. He pushes the metaphor further. In verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We need to remember this is a metaphor because the early church were accused of cannibalism because of things like this. It's a metaphor. When we feed on his flesh, it's putting faith in his death and his resurrection on the cross. When we drink his blood, it's recognizing that his sacrifice is sufficient for us to receive forgiveness from God. And so what he's saying is faith in Jesus is the only way to eternal life. We could go to John 14 where he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus makes so many radical claims. Somebody left a booby trap behind me. Jesus makes so many radical claims that they're unilateral claims as well. There's no, well, he might mean this or he might mean that, or did he really know what he was saying? He's saying, I am the bread of life. Jehovah, the bread of life, is me, is what Jesus is saying. So if you're here this morning and you're looking for spiritual meaning, if you're looking for purpose in life, if you're looking for what it's all about, put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus, because he is the only one who can lead us to true spiritual life. Thank you, Alistair. This is part of his admin role. Cleaning up the messes the minister makes. Yeah, it's usually my wife's job, but she just stayed there. Henry Ahaka then goes on. He says that Jesus feeds the soul, satisfies spiritual hunger, and gives life, eternal life. We're invited to come and taste of the bread of life, and that helps us become Christians, become followers of Jesus. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. And then once we are believers in Christ, we're invited to continue feeding on the bread of life, to maintain a healthy spiritual relationship with Jesus that enables us to grow in love and in grace, in humility and patience, in strength and in the power of his Holy Spirit. He promises this. He says, eat the bread of life and you will receive eternal life. Keep eating the bread of life and you will continue to be filled with eternal life here and now, and you will never be turned away, because whoever the Father sends to Jesus, he promises never to turn away. This is what we were created for. This is our greatest need. So much more greater than a certain toy at Christmas. So much more greater either than food, water, and clothing. So much greater than our desire to get one of those nice yummy cakes at tea and coffee after the service. So there is no excuse for a panic charge to make sure you get there first. I'll lead the way, it's fine. But to be serious, these things leave us with some questions. Firstly, are we aware of what our truest, deepest need is? Are we aware that our truest, deepest need is eternal life, is a relationship with God through Jesus? It's not getting that bigger house or that flashier car or that better paid job or that more beautiful husband or wife or whatever. Our truest, deepest need is eternal life. Secondly, how much are we prepared to do? How far are we prepared to go to find the answer to that question? Are we prepared to study the teachings of Jesus? Are we prepared to hear the words of Jesus? Are we prepared to put our faith in Jesus and then live the rest of our life following Jesus as a way of saying thank you for the eternal life he gives us? And what would that look like once we've made that commitment? How much are we prepared to do and how far are we prepared to go to let others know about this incredible gift that we have in Jesus of eternal life? How far are we prepared to go to show our friends, our loved ones, that their greatest need is not that toy at Christmas, but it is eternal life in Jesus Christ? The bread Jesus fed the 5,000, although there were basketfuls left over, didn't last. Nor did it sustain the people for long, otherwise they wouldn't have been charging round the lake to ask him to do it again. The manna that fed the people of Israel in the wilderness didn't last long. You had to collect it in the morning and in just the right amount, or it would literally dissolve in your hands. And that had to be repeated every day to keep the people alive. Jesus, the bread of life, sustains us for all of eternity and promises to fill us again and again and again so that we never go hungry. All our spiritual needs are met in Jesus. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." And that's the invitation today. Taste and see and know that God is good, that he is for you and with you, that he will never leave you or forsake you, but he will meet your deepest need because he is the bread of life. Jesus, nobody else. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for so often thinking we know what we need when it's actually just something we want or maybe even fancy because we've seen it on the telly. Thank you that you know exactly what we do need and you provided that in and through Jesus. Today I want to pray for anyone who's searching for that meaning and for that the answer to that need, or that they might find it in Jesus here in this place today through what they've witnessed, through what they've heard. May they just put their faith in you, the bread of life. And for those of us who have been Christians for a while, help us to remember what a privilege and what an honour it is to be your children and what a great need there is still out there in our community, in our families, in our world, for people to be introduced to the bread of life. May we live lives that reflect his life and his character and his love. May we continue to put Jesus first and center in our lives, that others may see and come to know that he is our Savior and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Just to say that if there's anything in this morning's service that has touched you and you'd like to get some prayer about it, prayer team will be down here at the front, or if you've come with someone you know is a Christian, just ask them to pray with you. If you've got questions about who Jesus is and how to follow him, please come and speak to me or Gareth or anybody else who's been at the front. But don't leave here today without doing business with God. If God has spoken to you, follow it through. And we're going to stand and sing our final song, which is all about pointing us to Jesus. Do we have the PowerPoint? Yes, we do. Great. Fabulous. So let's stand and sing this and reflect on these words. And if you've been a Christian for years, maybe today's a day to recommit yourself and ask him to refill you and empower you to serve him and live for him. Let's stand together.
Sung,
that as we feed on the bread of life, it becomes less about me and more about him. So that whatever we conquer, whatever we are victorious in life, whatever we achieve, it's not us, but it's Christ in us, pouring out his power and his love. What a glorious thought. What a glorious picture. And it's true and it's real if we just feed on him and we allow him to work in us. So may we go from this place committed to allowing him to work in us, committed to feeding on the bread of life, committed to sharing this news of everyone's most basic need of eternal life in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit fill us, flow through us and around us as we live, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And all God's people said, Amen.